Was he born to be a journalist?
Yes, I think he was born to be a journalist. He, I think, had always been seeking a life of adventure, and his travel, his writing, working at the Wall Street Journal as a Russia correspondent, it was his absolute dream job. I got a call from my mom, and it's just my stomach fell out. You know, your heart stops. It's so hard to believe that something like that is actually real. And I remember my mom and I discussing the morning after, is that really Evan, that photo that came out? We didn't want to admit for a moment that that was him.
Did you think it was a possibility? I mean, Russia a year ago had already become dangerous. Other news organizations were pulling reporters out.
I would say my whole family was nervous. He would always remind us he's an accredited journalist.
And therefore he thought he was safe.
Yeah, it's very unprecedented.
Well, they decided that he was a spy, and it's been 1 year, and Evan Gershkovitz is still being held against his whims, against his will, and that was his sister speaking on another network with me now in studio, Sam Silverman, college roommates, longtime friends, still friends, still writing him in prison. Sam, thanks so much for joining us. I guess you know Evan's whole family at this point. What do you think everyone should know about what the last year has been like for him, Evan?
It's been an incredibly tough year, as you can imagine. He's been locked in a small prison cell for 23 hours a day. The only contact with the outside world has been with his lawyers, with the U.S. ambassador, with letters that he's able to get, in and out, although those are read and censored, of course. But yeah, this is the most difficult year that, you know, he could ever imagine, and that his family and friends could imagine either.
You write him letters. What do you make sure to put in there? Do you give him the play-by-play on what's going on here? And what's his response been?
Yeah, we just try to keep him updated with the life that he should be a part of. He's an avid sports fan, really social guy. He's a diehard Jets and Mets fan, so I love to rib him about that. And
right. I'm sure this is the only good thing is that he didn't witness the most disappointing season in New York Jets history.
Exactly.
Did you write him that to try to –
Oh, of course. Yeah, I was thrilled to tell him about Aaron Rodgers.
Right, because you are not a Jets fan.
I'm a Patriots fan, so we've had a rivalry going back to our freshman year. But, you know, he's kept a remarkably good humor in the tone of his letters that he writes back. He's always joking around. He's always asking about other people, what's going on. Mm-hmm. He missed 7 weddings the past year, 2 of which he would have been the best man at. And so just keep him up to date with the life that he should be a part of.
You know, I know it doesn't help to speculate, but I remember, because we did it as a talking point, I thought the expansive article he did about the reality of Russian economy, that it's not like it's been portrayed. And he says, this is what I'm witnessing. And a couple of days later, he ends up being scooped up. And they go, he's spied. Number one, he's saying his column is so good, someone wants to give him the information. But the fact that they would just do that and think to themselves, you're doing this to the Wall Street Journal. You would think that that would be armor around you.
100%. And that's what he thought, too. That's what we all thought. You know, he's an accredited journalist. He's a U.S. citizen. No U.S. journalist has been jailed by Russia since the Cold War, over 40 years. And so he was reporting the facts. He's not a spy. And the fact that they accuse him of that is total garbage.
How's the family holding up?
Every day it gets a little bit harder. They are remarkably resilient and strong. His parents are Soviet immigrants. You know, they've been through a lot in their life, but they've managed to settle down and create this fantastic family in the United States. I think the most remarkable thing about them is they've really adopted the American optimism of, every story having a happy ending, and they're pushing through with that on their faces all the time.
You know, Paul Whelan is another guy that's a Marine, did obviously help for ridiculous reasons. We don't have any of their guys. I mean, just tell me, you wouldn't tell me anything that's not going to work on Evan's behalf, but how are they going about engaging with the Russians, being that we've basically broken off relations with them since they invaded Ukraine?
Yeah, I honestly don't have insight into that process. I mean, I've heard that there's open communications between the U.S. government and the Russian government. I don't know who that's between or what the discussions are, but, you know, we've been assured that the U.S. government is working on it as daily, as much as they can, to try to secure the release of Evan and Paul and every wrongfully detained American overseas.
So Ben Hall picked up the Wall Street Journal today, as you did, and you saw a big blank white space. And that's because that's the column that Evan should be writing. And here's what Ben Hall said, who obviously went through hell by blown up by the Russians in the Ukraine war, and he's battled his way back on air and back in his life. Cut 30.
The Wall Street Journal wrote this about him today. Evan has lost 12 months of normal existence as a kinetic and curious 32-year-old, a year he should have been jetting around Europe and the US between groups of friends, his family, and his reporting trips to Russia. There has been a burst of weddings and engagements of friends from high school and college. He has missed a year of Arsenal, the Mets, and the Jets, his favorite teams.
So that was a little of the tribute. Pretty accurate, right?
Yeah, 100%.
What did being at the Wall Street Journal mean to him?
That was his dream job. I mean, he had been working up towards that. You know, he was raised in a household that, you know, he spoke Russian. He had a lot of Russian heritage.
He still speaks Russian.
I mean, nothing but Russian nowadays. And getting a job where he could report what was happening on the ground in Russia for the Wall Street Journal was the assignment of a lifetime.
Did he like being there?
He did. Yeah, he'd lived there for 5 years before all this
happened. That blows me away.
You know, it was something that he was really – he was determined to show us as friends that the Russia that we think of, the stereotypical image that we have of it, is not what it's really like on the ground there. And he had built a great life for himself with a good group of friends, you know, dating a lot, had a good job.
Yeah.
You know, he really did enjoy it there, and he enjoyed his job kind of depicting what Russia was really like to the world.
Can you visit? Can you have visitors?
To Russia? You could before.
Did his parents visit?
His parents had visited, yeah, before the war in Ukraine broke out.
But have they visited him since he's been in prison?
They have been able to see him in the courtroom during one of his, you know, one of the appeals.
They could grab them. I mean, anyone goes over, they could go ahead and make some other charge.
It's a risky situation, and they know that, but to see their son even for a few fleeting minutes is worth the risk.
So how's the Wall Street Journal done keeping Evan's name out there?
I think they're doing a fantastic job. I mean, they are keeping him top of mind, not just at the Journal, but with a lot of different media organizations. And, you know, they are doing everything in their power to make sure that everyone is aware of Evan's circumstances and knows why they should care. You know, this isn't just a situation that his friends and families should care about. It's something that all Americans need to care about, because this is an American citizen who's been taken hostage by a foreign government.
Has he been moved from his original prison cell into more dire or better circumstances?
No, he is still in the same cell in Lefortovo prison, which is the most notorious Russian prison. You know, we're actually looking forward to getting him moved into a different, less severe place. But he's still in pretrial detention. His trial hasn't even started yet. They just extended his pretrial detention.
They keep bringing him out and extending it, right?
Exactly. Claiming that they're gathering more evidence.
In June?
Yes, yeah. And, you know, it could be extended further beyond that.
Does he have a lawyer?
He does have lawyers, yes.
And is it a Wall Street Journal appointed lawyer, or is it a Russian lawyer?
I am actually not sure about that.
Because that's key. Because I don't really see the Russian lawyers doing much defending these days.
Look, there's the reality of the situation. It doesn't matter what lawyer he has. It's a sham trial. He's going to be convicted. There's almost no doubt about that.
All right. Matt, thanks so much. Sam Silverman, friends with Evan Gershkovich. Thanks so much for coming down here, keeping his name out there, and hopefully have you on with him in this very studio.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
All right. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show. Keep it here.
I'm Emily Campagno, host of the Fox True Crime Podcast. Far too often, women's lives are cut short as they fall victim to unthinkable crimes. But each week this month, I'll be joined by women who fought back, survived, and took back control. You won't want to miss this month's stories of survival, strength, and resilience. Listen and download on Apple, Spotify, and foxnewspodcasts.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.